It's the Earth Day celebration at the DGDG Mazda stores. Capital Mazda, Stevens Creek Mazda, Concord Mazda, and Team Mazda. Hey, it's Sean Del Gran. And this April, we've got outstanding offers on brand new Mazdas. Plus, we've partnered with One Tree Planted to help reforest areas of Northern California. We pledge to plant one tree for every vehicle we sell. Don't miss the Earth Day celebration at the DGDG Mazda stores in San Jose, Concord, and Vallejo.
You're listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light.
Scores! Logan Couture wins it in overtime.
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Off the draw, Riley sends it across the rink. What a save by Mackenzie Blackwood. Again off Austin Matthews with a brilliant one-timer that he kept on the ice, and the Sharks clear on the penalty kill. Giordano back to Lilligren on the left circle, shoots one, hit a body in front. Rebound picked back up. Turnaround shot. Score! That's Kalle Yarncroke with 42.2 seconds to go in the period, putting it off Blackwood and in, and that's a tough goal against right here to make it 2-0 Toronto.
Yeah, I think we did a pretty good job for the most part, for most of the game. I mean, trying to stay on top of them and take away their time and space. There was a few defensive shifts that we kind of got caught out there. They're pretty possessive. Like, they possess the puck quite a bit. So, you're going to have some of those shifts in a game. I think, too many of them could impact us negatively. But I thought we did a better job towards the end of the game and our pushback to get more pucks to the net offensively, which helped on that goal there. And then, but just... it just still just wasn't enough. It's a highly skilled team. Just kind of feel like our pushback was good, but at the same time, I do think they outworked us. I don't quite think that we were the harder working team. Which our group here that can't happen. We're not going to win the games that way. Obviously, they may have more skill down their lineup than we do, but. It's going to come down to who really works hard. That's who's going to win the game, or who competes harder, who wants it more. And I just felt like, they had a little bit more jump tonight.
All right. Good morning, everyone, and welcome. The San Jose Sharks falling to the Leafs last night by a final of 4-1. And the losing streak has now extended to 11 games. And if you're wanting to compare the two 11-game streaks that the Sharks have now been on up to this point of the year, the first one was 0-10-1. They did get a point in game number two against Colorado, whereas this one has been 11 regulation losses. And last night's was not a particularly egregiously bad game. There was nothing that you walked away thinking like, man, that was a horrible game. It was one of the, like, no, there was nothing about that I thought was just a, something to really feel bad about after. It was more to the extent that the Sharks just didn't work hard enough. I don't know if it was accurate to say that they were flat out of the gate, but they didn't look engaged enough. And against a team like Toronto, that can be enough to sway the overall outlook of a game. Because in the first period, Toronto absolutely dominated the Sharks in terms of puck possession, in terms of hustle, in terms of chance creation, in terms of shots on goals. Like, it was all Toronto. And the thing was, is the Sharks didn't look like they were lacking effort or energy or what the exact term was, but it was just like they weren't quite tuned in with their compete level the way they needed to be. It was a really odd start to the game for them, because there were moments where they looked like they were just all about it, and then other moments where they just kind of seemed to lack the focus and consistency that they needed early on in that game. And, credit to Mackenzie Blackwood. You heard one of the many saves he made in the first period bringing us in, as Toronto could have been up by a lot. And Mackenzie Blackwood did his best to keep the Sharks in it, and Toronto also caught the pipes a couple of times. And, the Sharks were just giving up far too much, but it really does make you wonder about where the Sharks are on this losing streak right now and where their mentality is. And hopefully going out onto the road can allow them to come together as a group. That's something that I do think that, yeah, we look at a road trip and think, okay, this is you know, the difficulty gets ratcheted up that much higher. But sometimes I think you do have that coming together moment where guys can take advantage of opportunities and, you know, use that as team bonding time to focus on the realities of an 11-game losing streak and get it out of their system, hopefully sooner rather than later, as they'll see Toronto again on Tuesday. But if I go back to this past Tuesday night after the Sharks lost, they were seething. They viewed that as a game that they could have and should have won, and they did play pretty well. They lost 5-3 to Detroit, but they played a pretty good game there. And then Thursday night, I thought they played not a great game, but definitely were right there with Winnipeg and had their opportunities. I wasn't there Thursday due to illness, but I was there Tuesday night, and I can tell you that after that game, the Sharks were seething. You had one-word answers from William Eklund. You had just a team that was absolutely incensed with the fact that they had been so close, that they had played fairly well and were not able to seal the deal when all was said and done. And that's not to say that they weren't angry after last night's game. It just seemed that there was a bit more resignation with the outcome of like, yeah, that's a better team. We didn't compete well enough. We didn't do these little things well enough. Like, there was a greater level of understanding. And I'm not saying it was a problem. It was just interesting to note the way that they regarded the different types of losses, because, you know, Tuesday night they were in it and they let it get away from them. And then last night it was like a game that they were never really engaged in. And then afterwards they all seemed to be looking at it on the face of it and not shying from that reality. And I think they are all aware that Toronto is a much more talented team than they are right now. But I think it's also the sense of like, it's 11 games again. It all kind of sunk in, and then it wasn't the reality before that it was now. Like, the difference that three more losses, the 9th, 10th, and 11th in a row, have had on this team. Because the 9th one, you know, again, very, very tense, very, very upset. And then you look at where they are now, it was not like these guys are accepting of it, but it was more like an awareness of their reality. There was a greater acceptance. It seemed like people were willing to discuss it more. It seemed like there was more length at which the team could go. And we've seen Mario Ferraro in particular after some bad losses this year, and he has not always been his usual wordsmithy self. Mario's a good talker. He knows how to describe what he sees out there. He knows how to make a point. He knows how to say exactly what he feels. And I don't ignore what he says or how he says it. And after last night's game, he wasn't the same type of ticked off that we've seen after other losses. And again, I'm not saying that as a problem. I'm just saying it kind of speaks to where this team is right now. I think there is a moment of realization going on where the emotions are cooling. They're recognizing what's going on. They're probably also recognizing what they need to do better. And I don't know that that's quote unquote a better way of handling a loss than any other one. And I'll let anybody handle losses the way they want to. But I thought it was an interesting note to watch Mario be a little bit more, just lengthy with his answers after the loss. Same story with Granlund, same story with Zetterlund. Quinn's always a good talker, so even in the face of a bad loss, he's going to give you his thoughts on things regardless. But I think reality is setting in. I think that right now they are recognizing that, you know, they need to rethink a lot of what they're doing right now. They need to think about why their effort wasn't where it needed to be. They need to figure out why a lot of things have been going the way it has been as of late. And that doesn't, you don't take away the fact that Toronto is a good team. I'm not trying to say that the Sharks should have been the team that walked away with the win after last night's game. I think the real issue right now is trying to figure out why the consistency has not been there, why they have not been as competitive as they were at about a month ago when they had just come off a 4-2-1 stretch and started this 11-game losing streak. And I also wonder if that, you know, search for answers has left them with a little bit of outsmarting themselves mentality, overthinking it, for lack of a better term, or the other side of it where there's paralysis by analysis, where these players are looking at too many different angles of their games and trying to figure out what the issue is, and it's kind of having them be stuck in place. And what's unfortunate is that along the way of this 11-game losing streak, the Sharks have had some moments of some pretty good hockey, but when you're losing 11 straight, you don't get to acknowledge any of those good performances. You don't get to look at any of the games where you played competitively, where you can, you know, play decently. You know, the 1-0 loss to Arizona was a game where they played pretty decently and just couldn't find much offense. That's a recurring theme. You know, the New Year's Eve 3-1 loss to the Avs, that was a good game. I thought that the Sharks played where they were, you know, right there with a very, very good Colorado team. And, you know, we look at this last week, you know, they didn't play poorly against Detroit. They didn't play poorly against Winnipeg. They didn't play awful last night against Toronto. They just didn't play good enough. But, you know, things have been better since, you know, the games against Edmonton and LA, and they've been playing better here against Detroit and Winnipeg and Toronto and Colorado, obviously, but it's not enough. And you can't just point to yourself playing better. You know, Quinn said it a couple nights ago that being better isn't good enough if the outcome is still a loss after a loss after a loss after a loss and so on. But everything at this point is elusive. That is the reality when you are down and out and on an 11-game losing streak. There is not a lot that's going to come easily right now. And the Sharks are going to have to work their way out of this losing streak. But, you know, I saw it in Curtis Pashelka's write-up about the game where he said, yeah, this is the second time this year the Sharks have gone 11 straight without a win. We're not even at the halfway point of the season. This is going to be a tough road from here to the finish. And, you know, last night it was asked to Mikael Granlund about, you know, the possibility of guys being on the trading block as we get closer to the trading deadline. And he said it was something that he hadn't really spoken about. But the other side of this is, you know, this was all part of the plan for the San Jose Sharks all along. No, not the 11-game losing streaks, but being a quote-unquote bad team throughout the entirety of this year. They are in a rebuild. They are trying to acquire more draft picks. They are trying to acquire more young talent. They are trying to build themselves for the future, and that means that the present is not very fun, and it's something that Sheng Peng and I talked about yesterday on the build-up. If you want to check that out, listen to build-up episode 40 or game 40 versus Toronto. I'll play some of it for us this morning on the second half to get Sheng's thoughts on some things, but you know, this is where the Sharks are right now. And yeah, for some fans, it is a tough pill to swallow. And I think a big part of that is the fact that the Sharks have never been, you know, bad like this for any other part of their franchise's history. They had never gone three straight years missing the playoffs prior to this current stretch. And so right now, fans are seeing what the reality is of a team on a rebuild. And it takes time. You look at, you know, where Detroit has been. Everyone thought they were about to climb out of it this year, but then they've been in, you know, rough waters as of late, and they have not been the same team they were to start the year. And it's been 7 years without the playoffs for them, and it might take another year. Maybe they'll get in this year. Maybe they won't. I can't say, but, you know, the reality is that it doesn't happen overnight. And that's not to say that fans in Detroit should be satisfied with that, or fans in San Jose should be appreciating what's going on to say that, oh, well, it doesn't happen overnight. Like, no, it's not fun. Nobody likes this process, but it is a process that teams have to go through. The hope now is that Logan Couture is closer to returning than he was previously, and the expectation this last week was that Couture would be rejoining the Sharks on this road trip. So hopefully that will be the case. That's not been put in stone or anything like that, but getting him back would help a lot, as the injuries have added up for the Sharks this year. It has not allowed them to be their best team at any one point of the season. Obviously, the loss of Matt Benning for the year isn't helping. Nico Sturm injury is another one that looms large. The Sharks have not won a game in which he has missed all year long, and that's the type of player he was. And, you know, I saw him briefly after last night's game just exiting the building. I didn't talk to him or anything, but I could tell he's itching to get back out there on the ice and did not look happy with the results. And Nico Sturm is usually a pretty happy-go-lucky guy, and I would not say that was the facial expression I saw for him after the game. So these are all guys that are a part of what the Sharks were trying to do this year. And with no Matt Benning, with no Logan Couture, with no Nico Sturm, you know, that has an impact over time. It does not turn an 11-game losing streak into an 11-game winning streak, but it probably equals about one, two, or three wins over this 11-game stretch if you've got all those guys out there together. Now, obviously, that's wishful thinking. It may only equal one, but I would still take a 6-game and a 4-game losing streak with a win in there, as opposed to 11 straight. And, you know, right now the Sharks, they are beat up, they are bloodied, they are battered, they are an 11-game losing streak, and now heading out for 5 on the road. It's going to be a tough stretch, especially as they face this talented Toronto team again on Tuesday, and hopefully they can look at themselves and say, okay, this is what we had go wrong in this game. Mackenzie Blackwood, he did a great job, but we were flat out of the gate, at least in a way that affected the overall performance. We were out-controlled, out-possessed, out-created, and out-shot in the first period, even if we weren't terrible. We could have had a better effort across the board. We could have had a better work rate across the board. We could have done, you know, just things better over the course of the game. Are the Sharks able to rectify those mistakes going into Tuesday's game? That's the real question for me, because you will have an idea of what this Toronto team can do, but obviously Toronto was not in their own building on last night's game, and they will be on Tuesday's game, but at least you know your opponent. You know what they're capable of. You know what they had success against with you in the last game, and hopefully you can find a little bit of a rectification. But then, you know, you do go out on the road, continue on the road, I should say, and it's Montreal, which, again, is a beatable team for San Jose. I think there is a chance for them to win that game. Same thing with Ottawa. Same thing with Buffalo. Same thing with Chicago. Chicago now, especially since they've got Connor Bedard on IR, not that he was their, you know, the saving grace in the midst of a bad season. It's like, no, he's not out there, so he's one less problem for you to worry about. And then you get home against the Ducks. So in this stretch of Montreal, Ottawa, Buffalo, Chicago, Anaheim, I think there are some wins in there. You go back out onto the road and you see LA, that's going to be a tough game. You're home against the Rangers, that's a tough game. But then you close out the month with Buffalo at home, Seattle at home, and then back out on the road with Anaheim. Those are winnable games. You know, it's not that I think that the Sharks should be viewing any game as a slam dunk or anything like that, but that's an easier schedule. The schedule does finally let up a little bit. So it's not fun right now, but it is where the Sharks are, and it's on them to make the most of this upcoming road trip. We're going to take a break. We are going to get into post-game reaction and some thoughts from Sheng Peng on the other side. You're on Morning Tide, presented by Coors Light on the Sharks Audio Network.
That to-do list you have needs one more thing. Chill. It's an easy thing to do. Just crack open an ice-cold Coors Light and chill. Take the afternoon off and binge-watch anything. Go to happy hour and stay for a couple hours. Who's counting anyways? Or hang out with just your dog, because you've had enough human interaction this week. Whatever you do, do it with a Coors Light. Mountain Cold Refreshment made to chill. 2020 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Celebrate responsibly.
Welcome back to Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light.
Anthony Duclair, 7 goals this season, twisting and turning, went back. Embers in the shot, save made. There's a rebound there in front. Tone in front, score! Zetterlund got the rebound, threw it to the right side of the Maple Leafs goal, and that was a tap-in from Mikhail Granlund to put the Sharks on the board at 11:57 of the third. And so it'll be Granlund getting credit for the goal, his fifth of the season, and it gets the Sharks back into the game, 3-1 Toronto.
Yeah, I don't know how great we played defense, even when it was 1-0. I didn't really love our compete tonight. I thought we got outworked and outcompeted too often tonight. They got better through stretches, but listen, they have more talent than we do. Nobody's is hiding behind that or away from that. But you know, we need to be way more consistent with our compete in a game of this magnitude. And you know, I was very impressed with their compete and their effort. You know, as highly skilled as they are, their effort, second and third effort, they're tracking. They just outdid all of those things more consistently tonight, and that's why the score was what it was. And our goalie stood tall and gave us a chance hanging around. We gave up that goal at the end of the second off a bad turnover in the neutral zone, just a bad, bad turnover. And, you know, that cost us a lot tonight. I mean, you can't have offense if you're not connected coming out of your zone, and our breakouts weren't good. We turned it over a lot. And, but more than anything, it was our compete. I just didn't like our compete at all along the walls and in the neutral zone. And, you know, which hasn't been the case lately, but wasn't good enough tonight.
The Sharks' lone goal from Mikhail Granlund, and head coach David Quinn bringing us back in on a Sunday morning on Morning Tide following the San Jose Sharks 4-1 loss to the Leafs. More from head coach David Quinn when asked about the Sharks' slow start.
Actually, the first 3 or 4 minutes were pretty good, and then I thought when they hit a couple crossbars and started making plays, we played scared. I don't mean physically scared, I thought emotionally scared. Like I said, I liked our first few shifts. I thought we came out with some energies, breakouts, crispness, and some looks to get shots off, which is a huge issue for us. Our ability to not understand when we're in a shooting position, when we get it to release it quickly, hurts us. And then I thought, as you know, they started making plays or playing the way they're capable, we got on our heels and played afraid.
I think the afraid aspect probably tracks better than the flat start that some people are perceiving, because it does seem like they got a little bit tentative. It seemed like Toronto, as they took control, the Sharks were just trying to keep it at bay as opposed to being the attacking, aggressive team. And I think that when you get tentative against a team like Toronto, they're going to take advantage of that because of, A, their ability to possess the puck and create chances and generate shots almost at will, but also just because they have such a high talent level. It's like if you give them an inch, they're going to take a mile. They get you pinned in on their own end. There were many times where they were getting second and third opportunities, and Mackenzie Blackwood was doing a good job of keeping them at bay. But, you know, it comes back at you. You're not going to be able to keep that out forever unless you are bringing it right back at them and trying to pin them in their own end. If you don't do that, then they are going to do it to you, and that's exactly what happened. They possessed the puck throughout the entirety of that first period, and they did not let up. More from Quinn on why the effort, the intensity was lacking in this game.
That's what I'm focusing on. I can't worry about the talent. I'm pissed off about our compete and our lack of effort. Consistent effort. There were shifts and moments, but that's not good enough, you know, and for the most part, that's been pretty good lately, and this was one of the nights it wasn't, and you're going to make sure it doesn't happen again. Every night, every team has it throughout the league. You have the nights where it just doesn't come together. They don't have it, but we can't have it again on Tuesday.
And that's going to be the real issue here with the Sharks, is that while they have mostly been playing a better brand of hockey as of late, and you know, if they played this game during their first 11 games of the year when they weren't winning as well, we would have thought it was a good effort and one of the better efforts. But right now, especially considering how they've played lately, it was not up to snuff. So do they bounce back on Tuesday with a better effort in Toronto and the start of a 5-game road trip? And it was the last extended road trip where they had their best success of the year. They had a 6-gamer where they went 3-2-1 and came home and got another win and were 4-2-1 in 7 games and, you know, playing their best hockey of the year. And since then, it's been all losses. That's not an exaggeration. Since that last win when they came home off the 3-2-1 road trip and got the win against Winnipeg, they've lost 11 straight. That's extended from the middle of December to now. And so the Sharks have to find themselves on the road once again. They did it before. I think they have the chance to do it again. It's just a matter of waiting to see now if they do have that response on Tuesday to what happened in this most recent game, especially considering they're facing the same opponent. Ferraro was asked about the goal the Sharks gave up in the final minutes of the second period, which took it from a 1-0 game to a 2-0 lead for Toronto.
Yeah, it would have been, you know, nice to keep it within one, right, and going into third. But you know, they were getting their chances. You know, it's a good shot with coverage in front of the net. It's, you know, I don't want to say that we deserve to kind of be down by two goals, but I don't. You know, we have to do a little bit better job of, you know, managing the puck and keeping their chances to a minimum. So you know, it definitely sucks being down two, but you know, it's the whole period, it's kind of built up to that point, so we have to just do a better job, you know, from the drop of that puck in that period for the whole game, really, to kind of limit their chances and, yeah, give us a better chance to keep it tight.
And Ferraro was asked about taking this streak out onto the road.
It's, you know, obviously it's not easy, but at the end of the day, like, we can't really have, that can't really be in the back of our mind. We can't be going into the road trip thinking about that. Like I said before, like it's about the little things and each shift at a time. Like, we can't just think, oh, we got to get this win and kill this streak. We got to think, oh, we have to have a good shift and make it lead into another good shift, and that'll be a good period, and then a good second and a good third, and then we get the win that way. So you know, we can't think that way. Obviously, I'm not smiling about it and going on the road trip in the, you know, position we're in, but we're in it, and the only way to get out of it is to, you know, be positive, as hard as that can be. Just be positive and one step at a time.
And from Mikael Granlund, he was asked about the possibility of looming roster changes with the deadline on the horizon.
I don't really know about the other guys. I'm not really thinking about any of that stuff. It's just about getting ready for the next game. And obviously, we have a lot of young guys on the team. There's a lot of learning curves, let's just put it this way. And we're all working hard, and obviously, you know, it's not really going our way right now, but that's nothing we can do about it right now. Let's just go for the next day and for the next game, and we'll get out of this.
And to be fair, that is the right answer. I don't think you can be thinking too much about the future and the unknowns when you're in the midst of an 11-game losing streak. Obviously, the trade carousel has not begun to happen yet around the NHL. Things will happen and will continue to happen as we do get closer to that trade deadline. But I think Granlund is pretty much espousing the idea that they are all focused on the issues at hand and not what might occur in the future. While we still have time, I wanted to give you a taste of my interview that I did with Sheng Peng, talking about many things San Jose. I asked him what his expectations were regarding Logan Couture when he does return.
Yeah, I think it's going to take him a while. He's not a young man anymore. And missing half the season. And I mean, he's been practicing pretty solidly for a month already, right? So yeah, I mean, that's his training camp, right? He's going through his training camp. I thought maybe a couple games with the Barracuda could be in order. I'm not sure if that's the plan or not. Still could be the plan. Maybe it is Bortolo called up, and then Couture, we're going to wait a little longer on him, you know? Who knows? But it sounds like if Couture is going on a road trip and going directly on a road trip, there won't be any Barracuda appearances. So, yeah, I think it's going to be a little rough at the beginning. I think the Sharks know that, too. I don't think the Sharks are going to put him right on the top line or whatever, right? So, and the good thing about the Sharks, the one area that they have had some depth in is up the middle in terms of Hurdle and Granlund's performances this year. And so you can possibly slide in. I mean, it makes sense with Snika being sent down, but Snika have been playing 3C. So you can put Couture in and you can kind of ease him in there a little bit. Snika was playing about 12 minutes a night. Of course, if Couture is in there, Couture will play a bit more just because Couture will appear on special teams, which Snika didn't really. Mm-hmm. But you know, you can cap him at about 15, 16 minutes a night instead of giving him like a full 20, 21, like they're giving the Hurdle right now.
And I also asked him about the Sharks rebuild and it taking time and making the comparisons to what we've seen in Detroit.
Yeah, there's no guarantee, right? Look at all the years that we've been sold that, oh, this is going to be Ottawa's year. They've got so many good young players, Brady Tkachuk, Josh Norris, Thomas Chabot down the line. Oh, we just traded Jacob Chikrin and all that kind of stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's hard to say. Rebuilds are hard. If everyone could do it, then that's just not how things work, right? Everyone does the same thing. Basically, everyone tries to rebuild about the same way with high picks and that sort of thing, right? And if every single team succeeded in that, then I mean, yeah, that's just not how things work. Not everyone can succeed at it. But obviously, teams do succeed at it too. There's the Colorado example. There's the New Jersey example, and that's obviously where you're trying to get to. You don't want to be in a Detroit or Ottawa situation where every year is your year, but none of the years actually are. And so that comes down to execution. Who Mike Greer drafts, who his scouting staff drafts, how they develop their prospects, right? And so that comes down to execution, and we're not sure. I think Mike's plan is good, but execution, we have no idea because we don't know what Will Smith will be. We don't know if they can develop find a diamond in rough like a Zadina or a Zetterlund. We don't know if those guys are going to be playoff caliber players or not. But in terms of just the patience of the fan base, we also don't know that too, because the Sharks fans have never gone through this long a stretch of time. Before, of course, this I think it's 40 years now. It's going to be 5 years without the playoffs, right? The longest the Sharks had gone out of the playoffs was 2 years.
Yeah.
The first 2 years expansion, and they had a couple of years in between that. I think a 96-97 that they missed the playoffs, right? And they got right back under Daryl Sutter. And then they missed 1 year, right? In that stretch from 97 to 2019, right? They had a couple of 1 year absences. So basically 30 years of not missing the playoffs, more or less. To say we're seeing it now, obviously, with the attendance, right? Attendance that they say it's 10,000, but we can look at it. It's not 10,000 people out there, and that's fine. I'm not saying that the fans won't come back, but there's no. Is it possible the fans won't come back when the Sharks start winning? I mean, I don't know. We really don't know. We're really in uncharted territory here with the Sharks. But again, though, I do think that the plan that they have now is right. The rebuild is the right plan. The fans were still going, and the fans were online. The fans who subscribed, thank you to San Jose Hockey now. The loyal Sharks fans, right? They I think most of them understand that this is the right path. But again, execution, are better days really ahead? We won't know until we see how these prospects develop.
All right, we are just about out of time. If you want to hear the entirety of that interview, check out yesterday's edition of The Build-Up Game 40 versus Toronto to hear everything that Sheng Peng had to say. We will see you on Tuesday afternoon as the Sharks get ready to take on Toronto. 3:30 pregame, 4 o'clock go time as the Sharks look to snap their 11-game side. Dan Ruzanowski and Brett Hedekin on the call. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey signing off.
You've been listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light on the Sharks Audio Network.